Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey, this is John Thorne, owner of Absolute Gents Wrestling, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Tales are told of blood-sucking vampires crawling out of graves to live on the bodies of helpless victims.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here along with Simon Street, and should I say, in this case, guys and ghouls, welcome to our special Halloween edition here. It's the day before Halloween we're releasing this, and I have two of the most enthusiastic Halloween people, although Matt's more of a Christmas person.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I love it too, but that is her department.
So we got Shaw Guerrero, who is one of our favorite people on the earth. She is amazing. Not only does she come from lineage of wrestling, which is, it is what it is. You know, you can't control your lineage, your heritage. But, man, she's cut her own, you know, path. She's an amazing dancer. And she's an amazing ring announcer. And she's also got some ring skills that have been kind of coming back a little bit, but we're not gonna go too far into that. And Matt Reinhold, who, and I hope I didn't butcher that horribly right there.
It's okay.
Matt, you might remember him as Aiden English, you know, pretty famous for the Russoff Day. And Matt is one of, I think, my favorite in-ring, you know, not only personalities, but competitors. You have always shown skill, and your storytelling is amazing. And that's, you know, we'll leave it at that. Because,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Because it's Halloween, and we want to get into some stories about the season and why we're so excited about it and everything that surrounds it. Shaw, let's start with you. Growing up,
okay. Good idea.
Thanks for the glowing introduction too. I'm like, oh.
Matt, you know what? And I know there's probably people out there who goes, "You guys are full of shit. You're just blowing smoke up my ass." We don't do that. We're very, very honest when we say things like that.
Aww.
So, Shaw, growing up, what kind of things did you guys do for Halloween? What was a Halloween household in the Guerrero family like?
So actually, it's kind of like the polar opposite of what I do now. I grew up super religious. So like my mom and dad were pretty like Jesus crispy, like when we were little. And so we, for like a minute, we didn't like, I mean, they always let us dress up. They were never like, like, no, you can't do anything like that or anything. But we didn't have too many scary Halloweens. We had a lot of Halloweens where we went to church kind of, and you did
that's
like
scary.
And it wasn't
terrifying. If I were a kid.
But we like we never said Halloween. It was fall festival. So like
really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, man.
Wow.
We went to like hardcore Baptist church, man. So
fall
like,
festival.
So that kind of like explains why now as an adult I'm like all of it, all the evil, like it, like I'm super into it right now. Actually not right now, like for the past couple of years. So but yeah, a typical Guerrero Halloween was going to fall festival. They always had goldfish, like you won goldfish all the time. I don't know what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that goldfish? As a kid?
Yeah.
The actual goldfish or the crackers, the goldfish?
No, like live goldfish. These poor things like were being handed to like 7-year-old children.
Yes.
And they were running around like, "Mom, I have a fish."
Oh, yes.
And like, oh my God, they were all dead by
the time. Yeah, where's PETA when you need them?
For real.
They were always dead. I think that's the scariest it got at Fall Festival was just a bunch of dead goldfish being slung around by like 8-year-old children.
You'd get them.
Halloween, like, dead creatures, you know, floating around in bags, you know.
Yeah. And you get those. It would be like, you know, everyone would have, you know, some kind of thing like like cups or something like that. And you'd throw like a ping pong ball or like it would be like, you know, you'd penny something or another. But you ended up with one or two goldfish, inevitably, okay. And they were dead within a week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were totally dead. I like that at your church, though, you were throwing cups into ping, or you were throwing ping pong balls into cups. Did they have you guys starting early on beer pong at your church?
So I grew up as a Eastern Orthodox, which I'm Serbian by heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the first shot I ever took was when we would go to gatherings with the old timers, guys who were in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They found it very funny to give a shot to a kid not knowing what I was drinking. You know, you'd think, oh, this is like apple juice or something. Bump. And you just like, oh, and they would just laugh their asses off. So, yeah, we kind of...
Hardcore, because I mean, like, I remember as a kid, like, you get your first sip of beer, like, dad's being funny, haha, and you I remember being, like, repulsed, like, ugh, you drink this for sport, but, like, a shot, that's hardcore, man, like, I don't know if I don't know how I would have handled that, but, yeah, that was kind of, like, what Guerrero Halloweens were, but, like, my parents were a lot, I think, less strict than, like, the rest of my family. I remember I had a lecture one time from my Uncle Hector because I watched The Ring with my family and they were like, well, you can't let the devil in the house. And that movie's letting the devil in the house. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm 11. I don't have the authority right now. So we put a movie on, I fucking watched it. But, I would like to say our Halloweens are a lot more spirited. Actually, you haven't celebrated Halloween with me in like years. Normally I have a big Halloween party and I send him away. Or you're out of town.
Yeah.
Or you're out of town.
Yeah. Matt. Okay. So Simon, we'll get to you in a second. I want to hear Matt, what was your experience like growing up? You know, you grew up in the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Lyons?
Oh, I mean, not Lyons, Illinois.
Okay.
But like in Lyons Township. So it was a town called LaGrange.
In LaGrange, sure.
Yeah, west suburbs.
Yeah. Because I'm from Berwyn.
Oh, really?
What?
Berwyn.
Yep. Morton West Pride right there for you.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Y'all are neighbors.
Absolutely. High schools have competed against one another multiple times. Absolutely.
Oh, excuse me. Rivals.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking when the way Matt said this. That sounded like a rival chant.
Well, let's put it this way. Everyone around us were great in sports, so it wasn't as much of a rivalry as much as a pounding we always took. The only, I got to say though, the only thing that really we were really good at was our wrestling team.
I remember the Morton wrestling team, absolutely.
Yeah. So when you were growing up, did you do the typical trick or treating? Did you get all the goods from? Because we would actually, as we got older, we would get away from Berwyn and we'd go to places like LaGrange or Tunner's Grove to get the good candy.
Oh yeah, so you knew around us, it was, we wouldn't travel that far. We were you know, but you would scope out the nice neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So like I grew up in like unincorporated LaGrange Highlands countryside. So like everything was okay in our area, in our blocks, but then. I remember there was this neighborhood, Indian Head Park.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this neighborhood, like Ridgewood, like this kind of like, not quite gated, but kind of a separated community.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I mean, you knew the, like, the rich kids from school lived there. Oh. And so that's where you would go to get the full-size candy bars.
Full-size.
You know what I mean? Or, like, the people who had the really good, like, hey, just take one bucket, but they were, like, badass candy. And you would just be like, hey, buy one, you mean one handful. Right. And always, it was always a pillowcase. It was always a pillowcase.
Yes.
That was always
Oh.
All I've ever used as a kid was a pillowcase. Full, and I was full of candy by the end of the night.
Oh wow.
Full pillow. That thing lasted. I mean, I wish I could say it lasted 6 months. It should have lasted 6 months. But it probably I made it last about you know, halfway through, you know, November or something like that, like three, 4 weeks, maybe.
Through November, my gosh. You're a beast.
I mean, it was like you would have that night or whatever, and then every day there would be like you make sure it was in your lunch for school, and then it was a dessert after dinner. So it was like lunch dessert and dessert every day for like 30 days. Yeah. It was
great. What was the dental bill like for your parents?
Yeah. Your poor mom.
I have had I'm tapping everything. I have had stupid luck with my teeth.
Wow.
I think I've had one filling in 32 years. And I'm not like a hardcore brusher flosser. Like I forget a lot. and I just went to the dentist. Oh God, I shouldn't be saying this on air.
You're going to say it though.
But I didn't go to the dentist for 6 years.
And I was like bothering him about it for years. Like, you need to go.
My excuse, which is a stupid excuse, but with WWE, they're not paying for your insurance, so I'm paying for my own. And I didn't want to pay an extra $100 a month for dental insurance because I was like, I got good teeth. So, and then I just didn't make it. I didn't want to pay out of pocket either, so I just didn't go. So I went last year for the first time, and I'm like, oh my God. They're going to tell me I need to get teeth pulled. I'm going to get like adult braces. I'm going to have a root canal, all this stuff. Right? And lo and behold, like they're like, yeah, you got some tartar. You got some plaque buildup, but looks pretty good to me. Clean, bye. And I was like, oh my God. So yeah, all that to say, like even with all that candy as a kid and everything, I've been pretty damn lucky with dental work.
Wow. That is, I wish I could say the same. My luck ran out when I was 17. And then that's when, I don't have riddled bad teeth. I don't have wooden teeth or nothing. But, I mean, yeah, that's when I started coming into cavities, having to have teeth pulled. But I was good till then, so.
Yeah. I wish it's funny that, like, I was bothering him for years. Like, go to the dentist. And then, like, I was pissed when he came home. He was like, no, they just cleaned it. Like they just cleaned them. I have nothing wrong. Whereas every time I go to the dentist, I need a filling. Yeah. I like they have to pull something honestly, I feel bad because like I haven't gone to the dentist in like 2 years because I had like a horrifying experience worthy of a horror movie. And like I haven't gone back since. So I'm just like, no. I have to go. I know I have to go eventually. Awful.
Do you feel like sharing that horror story of the dentist? I mean, I would love to hear.
Sure. So basically, this was right before we got married. Mm-hmm. Like the week of God, this was a terrible week. We had like everything that could go wrong, like kind of went wrong with me right before our wedding. Oh, like I got pink eye right before our wedding. And the doctor was like, you can't wear makeup for a week or your contacts. I was like, dude. There's no way I'm not doing that anyway. But that same week, I went to the dentist for just a cleaning, and they were like, "Oh, we need to do a fill," and I was like, "That's not a big deal. I've had fills in my life," and I don't know what happened. They were trying to numb me for the filling with like a little shot of lidocaine, and the lady couldn't find my nerve to save her life. Oh. Like she stuck me 11 times. 11 times lidocaine, and I didn't know I was allergic to lidocaine because thank God I never needed lidocaine before. And I started convulsing on the table, like I couldn't stop shaking. And they were like, "You're fine." And I'm like, "No, something's wrong." And I was like, "Call my husband and or my fiance at the time." And like I couldn't stop shaking or anything. And they were like, "You're fine." And they did the fill. They did the filling. I left, vowed never to go back. Turns out, like. 4 years later, I went to the emergency room because my back got thrown out and they put a lidocaine patch on me. Same exact thing happened. I started convulsing on the table. Yeah. Matt was freaking out and the nurse came in, ripped it off. And they were like, yeah, you're allergic to lidocaine. And I was like, no, it's fine. My dentist said it was fine last time I had lidocaine. They're like, it's not. They're like, you shouldn't have that happen. So, yeah, I haven't had lidocaine or a dental appointment since.
Wow.
So,
it's a good time. It's a good thing it wasn't as bad as it could have been, because, you know, having an adverse reaction to stuff like that can be very bad.
Well, thank God I was always in the hands of doctors whenever it did happen. But apparently the first time it didn't go very well, because they're like, she's fine. Keep going.
That's I'm like, who are you?
Well, I was like, you're in my mouth. I can't be making this easier for you with me, like, shaking all over the place. Yeah, I have to go back to the dentist. I don't know when I will, but maybe when I feel, when I have a toothache, I don't know.
It's like Little Shop of Horrors right there. Yeah. The dentist. And
a little bit.
Go ahead, Simon.
You know what? I kind of wanted to segue into kind of what my question was going to be. You know, I know for me, I'm a huge horror fan. I love horror movies, all types of genres, B movies. I go through Shudder, and I've already gone through everything they have to offer. Netflix, it's to the point where I'm a junkie. So my original question was going to ask, do you two watch horror movies together? And if so, what is your favorite horror movie that you both share? Or you can pick whatever separate ones you both have. Hmm. And I'll go on one last caveat question. Since we talked about the dentist, can one of you name a horror movie you ever seen that had to do with teeth or a dentist?
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to look really lame, but like, Matt doesn't like horror movies.
That's not entirely fair.
Yes, it is. Every time I'm like, I want to watch a horror movie, you're like, eh. And I'm like, I'm not going to make you watch it. Like,
no, I know. And like, so there are some classic, like, horror and genre stuff that I appreciate, but yes, I will admit, like, it's never my go-to. That kind of vibe motif is generally doesn't appeal to me all the time. But it doesn't mean if it's a horror movie, I hate it. I'm not that like black and white about it. I can appreciate a quality film for what it is, but chances are I'll pick more. There's a few other things I would pick first.
He likes movies that are extremely depressing.
Yes.
With endings that aren't an ending, like they just leave you
open to interpretation, as art often does, which is a good thing.
You mean like Mother? Like a movie like Mother?
I didn't see Mother. Don't say anything.
Oh, I'm not saying nothing. That's the crazy movie. I'm not saying nothing.
And I want to catch on. I can't believe I'm. But yeah.
So.
But as far as me, like, yeah. Okay, I will say, like, I don't. When it comes to horror, like, I like spooky, not scary. I know that's, like, super lame, but, like I love American Horror Story, like, the whole series. I love all that. Like, my favorite movie of all time is Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
Like, I like stuff like that. Like, that's kind of more my genre, but, like, I do watch, I get really freaked out, like, with, like, haunted houses and like legit scary movies. Like, I will have nightmares for weeks about it. Like, I'm also an extremely vivid dreamer. Like, oh, yeah. I'll wake up and like I can remember everything and I cry and I like get really worked up. But so yeah, spooky, not scary. Bram Stoker's Dracula is absolutely my favorite. I have seen a horror movie when I was like 15 about the Tooth Fairy. Oh my God, I can't even remember what it's called. Fairy, it was like. Called?
Fairy?
No, I think it was called Teeth or something. Like, no, it's not even that. I think it was like, oh God,
is it Before Dawn? I think it's Before Dawn. Is it where the Tooth Fairy? Yeah, Before Dawn. I think it is.
I think that's what it was because it wasn't what I thought it was. I think the cover kind of alluded to maybe this had something to do with like Teeth or the Tooth Fairy, but it was about that. And so I saw a lot of horror movies when I was younger, I guess. But yeah, I haven't. But American Horror Story is kind of like my like everything. True. I love American Horror Story.
What was your favorite season?
Okay. So like that's so hard. Like Coven, I love Coven so much, probably because I'm a witch and so like that's like I'm impartial to that. But if I had to pick, like, I think Apocalypse, because it like just tied everything together. Oh yeah. I was marking out the whole time and Matt was kind of watching it with me and he was like, I don't understand this reference. I'm like, well, you wouldn't, would you? Cause you don't like horror stuff.
the last season for me was my favorite because of the fact that the 80s horror films are when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah.
And so yes. to me, it was just so relatable. And then the best thing they do, and I know, Matt, you being someone who appreciates, you know, actors and the craft, I love the fact that they use a lot of the same people. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's that's one thing. Like, I may not have sat down and binged it all and everything, but I've seen several episodes of several of the seasons that she's watching through, and like, and I follow it as a concept, and it's kind of, I would say that cast is so lucky. It's like an actor's dream to each, like, you don't get stuck playing the same role for 9 years, which can be great too. But like the idea of like, I can inhabit a different character, same show and same the kind of vibes, but like I get to play different things. Well, sometimes you're good, sometimes you're evil, sometimes you're this.
Well, and it's long enough to be able to have a good amount of character development throughout an entire season and then start fresh, so that's really cool. But that's actually, I will give you this, like American Horror Story is like the one show he will sit down and watch with me and be like, oh, you can keep going if you want, kind of thing, and I'll be like, all right. But, but yeah, so.
Yeah, true.
Well, my favorite season is Coven. And it's for family reasons, because I think I told the guys before, I grew up, I'm from Louisiana. So I grew up and people were always telling me that, you know, we're related to Marie Laveau, the voodoo priestess.
For real?
And serious. And for a while, I didn't know as a kid really what it was until I got older and I looked it up, because I'm what's called Creole. And she was a Creole voodoo priestess. And it's a real thing. I'm related to a voodoo priestess. It's quite interesting.
She's an OG, man. The goat. Crazy.
So when that came out, Angela Bassett, I felt, did a good job of being her, you know, and it was just, but I enjoyed it. And I always look for the theme songs. I if you notice every American Horror Story, they take the theme song tune and they twist it that fits what the scene of the, you know, that continuity like that is something I think, Matt, you could appreciate, because you're someone I think that, you may be interested. Have you ever seen the classic Nosferatu?
I haven't. And I know that's like a huge sin of mine. I haven't seen it, but I'm like, it's on my watch list. But since we're in the end times right now, I guess, and we have a lot more time, I have no excuse now.
So my next question for the two of you, and you answered those questions very well. What are things, and I know, Matt, you're more of a Christmas guy, but I know that every good husband always, always wants to have fun with whatever the wife likes. What is that one thing that you do that your wife asks you to do every single year that you're like, you know what? I do this because I love you. I normally wouldn't do this, but I do this because I love you.
Like for Halloween?
For Halloween, particularly for Halloween.
Well, I don't know. I'll be fair. I don't know.
It's like you put me in the hot seat.
I have a story just to say. I love that you brought this question up, by the way, because every year I ask Matt, let's dress up. And he always like straight up flat out says, no, I will not do it. And it's not like I'm telling him. It's not like I'm giving you a lame costume. I've been wanting to do Morticia and Gomez Adams for years. And like,
not do it. Okay, well, all right, first of all, like,
explain yourself to the public.
I will. Like, you put it out there as if I'm like slapping down on the table. Like, no, I will not. I'm not that vigorous about it.
Have you done it?
Not that, no. But I say no. Yeah, I don't. I'll be honest. I'm not a huge. I haven't been keen to dress up. Maybe I'm lame. Maybe it's because I dressed up for work 300 days a year, and maybe I didn't want to dress up on a holiday at home. But that's not a good excuse. I do admit that is the one big thing she's always wanted me to do that I haven't done, which is the opposite of your question. Well, you're asking me, what big things do I do? And that's
what I was getting at.
But I guess, like, yeah, I don't have anything. The things that I do, like, it's not something I don't like that I do because I'm trying to be nice, but like, I have gotten more into the decorating. I was never big in decorating for Halloween. It was all her. But I've gotten more, like, I love to hang the lights. Yeah. I love to, like, set up, like, the living room. And, like, I love lighting and stuff. Like, I've got the lighting here and the lighting here. Like, I've gotten more into that as an adult, and so I enjoy doing the decoration a lot more than I used to when we like first got to
it. He's a lot more open to it. Like when this Halloween season came around, and we're all struggling right now. We're all like, we haven't been at our best mental health or whatever. And it's just hard times. And I told Matt, like, I was just having like an off day, and I was like, we're going to Spirit Halloween. And I was like, you got to let me do this. And we walked in and I was already going crazy. I wanted everything. He's like, you get three things. Go. So he's really good with, meeting me halfway. So I will say that.
See,
one year you will get that for me though.
And the obvious thing you could have done, Matt, was dressed up as Aiden English just to have.
So here's the thing. That would have been the worst costume. Even worse than dressing up as, Jack Skellington. Just because, like, when you're a wrestler, and you're a wrestler 24/7 for the 5 days,
yep,
52 weeks a year, you still, don't get me wrong, you still love wrestling, but when you get home from that loop and everything, the last thing you want to do for the 2 days you have at home are be that wrestler again. You're like, let me just recharge. So, yeah, that is probably the one costume I would never wear outside.
I'd probably make him turn around and be like, turn around.
No, wouldn't allow it, yeah.
Go change. Like, make a name tag on your shirt.
Go dress up as Kane. I don't care. Can't be Aiden English. You can't be.
Now, you bring up an interesting point. Now, given your work, you can sing. I think that if someone put you in a Broadway musical, you'd smash it. And I'm being honest. Why not Jack Skellington? I mean, that would be freaking amazing. I mean,
and he is tall, pale, white, and skin and bones, which is pretty much how
I don't need hair.
And you don't, that's true, you don't need hair.
And the great thing is you can sing all the songs. You can sing Halloween Town. You can sing What's This? You can sing, you are the perfect Jack Skellington. I'm just saying. I'm being honest. Think about it.
And you've got a Sally right next to you.
You got Sally right there.
It's true.
Literally? Okay, Jack Skellington is on my, cartoon to-do list, if you know what I mean. He's like one of my biggest cartoon crushes. Everyone has cartoon crushes. Don't give me that.
This is true. I have cartoon crushes.
I know, but I'd like to tease you about it.
Anyway. I think it would be excellent. If you guys do that, please send us pictures. I'm going to take credit for that one. I'm just going to say.
Take credit. I might bug him, be like, we're going to do a photo shoot, like a cool photo shoot.
Okay.
And then we can do it for Halloween.
Okay.
So, when you talk about
Matt, usually sometimes he glitches, he gets super excited, so he'll glitch out. And this is usually where I just get
I'm glad to give him a reason to glitch.
Not a problem. It's like Wreck-It Ralph, too. He's just glitching out. Mm-hmm. You're okay. So, you know what? Over what each of your likes and don't likes in your history of Halloween, what would you say is the one particular meal you like to eat or cook for the Halloween season? Could be baking as well.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm kind of the one that ventures out of, like, if it were up to Matt, he would probably have chicken and broccoli and potatoes like every day of the week if he could. So I'm the one that kind of like, I don't really cook in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really cook in the summer that often, but when it comes time for fall, I am all about it. I love making different kinds of chili. So I make this white chicken chili for fall, and I make regular chili. And then I also do I don't know. I love ciders and stuff like that. I love pie. I can bake the pumpkin and apple pies and whatnot. So, I'm kind of basic. I go with the pumpkin apple kind of stuff. But other than that, I'm trying to think of what else I kind of cook. I love soup. I think my friends kind of make fun of me a little bit, cause I'll have soup no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah.
I'm a little old lady about it. I love soup. So I just embellish the soups for fall. Sure. So, and you like all of mine, actually.
I think. No, you're great with that.
Yeah.
You're very good with that stuff. And then, I mean, I think, like, we don't do it a ton, but, like, it's fun to do, like, Halloween, like, cookies, things like that. I mean, baking.
Yeah. So
cakes, brown, you know, decorated.
Well, last like year, that. I threw, so I'm a part of a dance group called the Vaudettes. Obviously, you guys know that. So I threw a big Halloween party for the VODs, and I made like these deviled eggs that had like what do you call it? Like they looked all veiny and gross, and they had like like I did that. I had like crazy blood cocktails, and like what else did I do? Like I did I did the pumpkin with like the mouth open, and there was like guacamole coming out, so it looks like he was like thrown up and stuff. So like I did all of like those kind of fun like Pinterest Halloween kind of vibes, but yeah, I think I focus more on like the Halloween cocktails kind of thing, because it's that kind of Halloween party.
What's some good cocktails then?
I mean, we did like, oh my god, I think like one, and we finished it, I made like 2 big gallons of it, and it was like 7-Up and vodka, and then like cranberry juice, and I like froze these like
water. I remember that. Yeah, it was like eyeballs almost.
Well, no, I froze like, so you get a glove and you fill it up with water, and then you put it in the freezer, and then you have like these ice hands, like
floating hands.
Yeah, wow. Like floating hands in there. Oh. And like I just did that kind of stuff, and then but then I think eventually everybody just turned to the tequila, and that was. That was kind of where we all, so, I don't know, that was the last we remember.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it always the case with tequila?
It is always the case. And then like the beer pong and the flip cup, and we're, oh dear God, it was a journey. It was fun though.
Matt, have you taken her to any of the, like the fall festivals, the pumpkin patches? Because there's so many different places to go around in Illinois.
There are. There's a lot within driving distance here. I mean, no, I don't think we've ever done.
I think like last year, like Matt was still on the road a lot. So like we were kind of missing each other. And then like Halloween is actually normally is my busiest time of year between the Vaudettes, because we get booked a lot because we're kind of a darker kind of group. Like darker sultry group, so we were getting booked a lot. I was doing burlesque almost like every weekend, so like we actually kind of missed each other a lot last year.
We were super busy.
Yeah, we were October super busy. Was very, very busy. And then this year, I don't know if any of that's going to be going down.
It's remarkable.
It might be one of the few things that is going down, because at least it's outside. It's kind of open air, and so they might have some. We should look into it.
Yeah, for my birthday.
There you go. Do you guys get any, and again, this year is going to be totally different, but do you guys get any trick-or-treaters?
No, and I'm so sad, because we're on, like, a second floor of, like, a walk-up kind of situation.
Yep.
So our first floor pretty much gets any trick-or-treaters if they come. But, I mean, I love looking at trick-or-treaters. Like, I love, like, giving the candy out. I always end up giving it out, like...
But I noticed, it's crazy. I don't... And maybe I'm insane. Maybe I'm just... I've turned into a crusty old person or something already. But even, like, so even before we moved here into the city, we lived out in the west suburbs again. We had a house out there. I feel like even the 2 years we lived there...
We didn't get a lot.
Half a dozen trick-or-treaters over the course of the night. Like, nobody's out after dark. The minute the sun's down, everybody, no parents start. I was out till like 9, 10 o'clock as like an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Like, getting with a giant sack of candy. But no, once sun, like, they're from 3 to 5, you're lucky if you get half a dozen kids after school or whatever. And that was it. Yeah. And that was in the suburbs. So, yeah, it's a little bit, even it's even less common here in the city going door to door like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I miss it. I wish it happened more.
And even then, like half the time the trick-or-treaters were like 16-year-olds that didn't even have a costume. They're like, "Oh, I'm Freddy because I have a sweater." And I'm just like, "Boo." And so it's just, we've been kind of jaded with trick-or-treaters for a while, so, but I wish I could get some cool ones. Like, you know, that'd be fun.
Yeah, because I did apartment living too, and we, you know, you didn't get anyone, especially I was living in LA, and it was just like a totally different world with that. But my buddy, grew up in LA, and his family is like an extended family for me. And so I started going over to his place. He would set up, he'd call it the Hamlin Street Haunt, I think it was. And he's still doing it, and hopefully he's doing it this year. And maybe at like a distance where people are like kind of driving by slowly, like looking at Christmas lights type of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he sets up, he uses a tarp basically and poles and makes a haunted house in the driveway.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
And then he established for years a character. He wears this, it looks like the Sting mask, the crow face. And yeah, he has like a jacket on, you know, like a trench jacket and a hat. And he has an actual machete that he scrapes on the ground. And
wow, that's awesome.
People fucking flip. It's just, yeah, it's, you know, it's cool when you can do fun shit like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember the first time I came, I encountered the whole, like, I don't know. I don't think they were real machetes, but like the guys that wore like they're like knee pads, but they have like just metal
the sparks
on them. Like yes. And I the first time was when I was like 13, and I went to Hallow Scream at Busch Gardens, and like I did not know what I was in for, and like they were on rollerblades and like these scary masks, and they would just like skirt right in front of you, and you were just like, I swear, I remember being so embarrassed because I legit like peed my pants a little, like, and I was 13. I just wasn't okay. Like, well, it was dope at the time. It was like the best birthday party ever.
What, hey, piss happens. It happens. It's okay.
Right.
They did their job. They were just doing their job.
When I worked at Universal Studios as a tour guide, and in 2001, and this is Hollywood, Universal Hollywood. In 2001, they had an Undertaker maze. So,
hell yeah.
So what, there was one guy who was actually had some pro wrestling experience, and I myself trained, but I'm not big enough to play the Undertaker, but I could do the voice. Mm-hmm. So I was put up on a perch, and what I would do was literally there was a light on me, and as they walked in, I would throw a dummy on a bungee cord towards them, and then it would fly back up to me, and I had the hat and the, you know, the makeup and stuff, and then I would, you know, rest in peace and the voice and all that kind of stuff. And it was fucking fun. It was especially fun when Mark actually went through the maze.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get to do it were you there when he went through the maze? Like, yeah. Did you? Oh my god.
Got to do it towards him. Yeah.
What was his reaction?
Well, it wasn't easy for me to tell because it was dark and smoke and all that kind of shit. But you could tell that, you know, I mean, you could hear kind of a rumble, you know, like they, you know, were laughing or, you know, having a good time with it. And that's, that's the key to Halloween. It's all about just having a fucking good time.
Yeah.
Now,
it's so fun.
Speaking of good times, you know, you kind of described a party, but for both of you guys, is there a memory that stands out of the most, like, bitchin' party that you guys ever had?
Oh, man. Like, so Matt and I are kind of lame. Like, when it, like, yeah. I think I'm more of the party person. And 100%. Usually when I do the parties, like, it's for me and, like, my bod troop. And, like, sure. I send him away. Like, you can go to your parents or whatever. And take the dog. Like, just go. Because, like, otherwise, like, me and him are pretty low-key. We like to just hang out. And
I haven't been to a party in, like, the colloquial sense, like, that you see in a... outside of, you know, like family Christmas or Thanksgiving, like I'm like a party,
like our wedding,
well over a decade.
Wow.
Like I never, not into since it. I was even a teenager in high school, college, it was not my thing. I may be a performer, but I'm a hardcore introvert. Mm-hmm. Being around people, especially like strangers, like my family's fine, but like a lot of people I don't know, I can enjoy it, but I wear out quick. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can last an hour and then I gotta go home. Like, I just, it's not my thing. I don't like getting wasted. I don't know. I just am not built for partying in the traditional sense.
I feel like to answer your question best, though, is like when we were living in Florida, me and Matt had a really good time when we would, like, he's an introvert. I'm actually an introvert. Like, I'm cool for a little bit, but other than that, I'm like, nah. But we went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, and we love theme parks, like, hardcore. Yeah. Like, we are, like, Disney freaks, Universal freaks, and so I feel like for Halloween, like, I think, like, that was our best time, was when we went to Halloween Horror Nights. Matt had to, you know, carry me through the mazes that, or through the haunted houses that we did go through, but, like, we just enjoyed ourselves, like, there, and, like, enjoyed, like, just what a great job they do with, like, the scenery and the different... I guess, like, what do you call it? Like, they're, like, vignettes that they have throughout the park.
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, our best time that we've had on Halloween.
Yeah, but, as far as Halloween stuff, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I do have to encourage, if we ever get back to normal, and you guys have that time where you can, around this season, you know, September to October, Knott's Berry Farm is one of the best.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard things about Knott's Berry.
Not Scary Farm.
Yeah, Not Scary Farm. It. Yep.
Yeah, Not Scary Farm. Yeah.
They do.
Oh, like, for, like, Halloween?
They,
like,
deck out the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing is Halloween. We're talking about Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, they really do a good job.
Yeah, like, about 12 mazes, I would say, per year. And then what they would, they have a show, usually, for years it was Ed Alonzo, the magician, but then Elvira took it over.
And no!
That's cool.
Yeah, really cool stuff. And then what they do is they do a parody about basically all the shit that's gone on for the past year, and it's called The Hanging. And because it's an Old West theme park, you know, the basis is Knott's Berry Farm, they have this Old West building that's a facade, basically, and they set up a huge hangman, you know, noose and pole.
Oh, a gallows.
A gallows, yes. And then you get a whole story through parodies of all these different, you know, celebrities and people who've made news, and they all get shot by the hangman. And you see the blood packets spurt and stuff. And it's one of the best stunt shows. It's amazing. And then finally, it leads up to them hanging, let's say, you know, I think the one year it was, I want to say it was Call Me Maybe, that girl who got hung.
About the girl that sang the song, Call Me Maybe?
Well, someone dressed as her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the one who would get hung every night. So they pick someone, yeah, and it's a fucking blast. It's a great, great time. So put that on your to-do list.
We will for sure. I feel like we really enjoy that kind of stuff because, like, I mean, like I said, I don't like the haunted houses. Like, I'll do, like, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm the worst person to take through a haunted house. Like,
oh god, yeah,
I'm the worst and whatnot. But, like, but I love, like, the scenery and the shows, like, what I think we went the year, like, Chance was a big deal. I don't know if you guys remember Chance from, like, from that whole situation. I actually ended up doing a show with the girl that was Chance, like,
really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I was a scare actor for Halloween Horror Nights for a little bit, but, like, but yeah, like, nice. I just love, like, the whole vibe of it. Like, I'll sit there and hang out all night, but, like, take me into a house and I'm done. You have to check out Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Now, I know you said you're not really into haunted houses. How would you feel about a haunted museum? And not in the sense of a museum that's possibly haunted, but a museum that contains haunted relics or historical cult relics.
Yes.
Because every year, and the last time we talked to you, Shaw, you know, every year for my birthday, I think for the past 5 years, because my birthday is on the 12th, so I take all my friends, we go to, here in Las Vegas, Zach Baggins, a haunted museum here in Las Vegas. He's the guy who was from
Ghost Hunters.
Okay.
Yeah, so he owns a museum. The site is haunted. But he has everything from the original Dybbuk box. He has a room that's dedicated to all serial killers. It's pretty exciting. The tour takes about 45 minutes to 50 minutes, but outside, and it's open now for COVID. You have to make an appointment, of course.
Sure.
But they have a tour outside. There's entertainment. You have clowns rocking around, entertaining you, juggling, but this like horror type. It's a very excellent original attraction here to Las Vegas, and it's always busy. So I don't know how you feel about that, but if you're ever in Las Vegas in the future, you gotta go. Zach, back
literally,
that's your thing.
That's my thing. Like I'm kind of, I get nerdy about like I think we talked mostly about like the occult last time we all talked and whatnot, but like that would be like, I would be like, that would be my birthday present. I feel like I'd be like, yes, let's do that, and then like have a good dinner. Like that would be like the best night ever. So we have to figure that out.
Yeah.
You yeah. like it because that's my birthday present to myself every October.
Yeah. Oh, I'm jealous. Now we got, well, me and Matt have like, we've only ever spent like one night in Las Vegas as adults. And I wanted to like actually have like a couple days there to like actually enjoy it properly. Because otherwise, I don't think, besides that one time me and you went as adults and when you were not working, you were like a kid. And so he couldn't gamble or drink or anything like that. So we got to go back to Vegas.
For sure.
Do it right.
100%.
Well, I'm telling you right now, just to confirm, Vegas is open. The Strip is open. Our bars are open. You have to wear a mask when you get in, but when you get to your table, you can take that bad boy off to throw back a drink. And, you know, maybe right now with downtime might be the best time for y'all to take a little trip. Just saying.
We're trying to figure, like, we've had two vacations planned this year that we've had to promptly cancel due to COVID. And so we've been trying to figure out a way to, like, just get out of our house somehow and, like, have a little, like, a baby vacation that's doable.
True.
So we got to figure something out.
When you think about what makes a movie or, even a real life occurrence, what to you is the definition of horror?
Oh, God. We're getting deep.
I don't know why that just hit me, but I just thought, you know, because it's, you know, we can
forget her birthday. That kind of definition of horror.
Good.
That's Armageddon. on my end.
So real quick, Michaels, are you asking what's an example? Like for me, when I think of like horror, mm-hmm. I think of a tie between Salem's Lot type of vibe and Fangora magazine. So anywhere between those two, to me, that's horror. Like, you know, it's kind of stylistic.
Yeah, like the definite like, of the genre of the horror.
That's what
like,
I'm wondering,
you think of the word horror, like what do you think of kind of thing? Oh. Yeah, it's got. I mean, I think for me, it's probably what right off the bat. All that comes ahead is like zombies and vampires. And maybe that's just because of pop culture the last like decade, but any of them. I mean, Night of the Living Dead. I mean, like Dracula. All those things, like classic horror. Those are the things I think of movies and everything that pops into my head immediately.
I mean, I think maybe I'm getting like a little too deep, probably.
No, not
I guess
at all.
Like, when I think of horror. And like, I guess like fear and like what I mean, like it's all about stimulating fear and like. I guess going into what one is actually afraid of. And I think that's why I love American Horror Story so much because literally throughout all of their seasons, they play on real shit that like legit makes people scared. And like, I didn't even realize like I had like certain phobias until I watched it. Like I didn't realize I had like a whole phobia until Cults. And I was like, oh my God, what is this right now? And like even how they played on like the election and stuff like that. Like they've done just so many beautiful things with the genre, and it's beautifully done too. I think like the horror genre, I love the aesthetic of it all and like the lighting and the makeup, like the prosthetics. And like, I mean, that's all really awesome as far as like Hollywood horror, but I feel like it's all about like really tapping into people's fears and making it entertaining. I think that's the beauty of it.
You know,
so Charles, you said that you have a whole fear. I don't know what the official term of it is. I don't know what it is. I was trying to look it up. Matt, what's your fear?
So, yeah.
Claustrophobia.
Really?
Oh, hardcore.
Wow.
Yep.
It's real bad.
Yeah, I'm not a fan
of it. That's a scary one.
We were like, what were we were doing? We were like sitting in like a little pod or something, and you started like not being okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's wrong?
If I don't feel like I have an escape or something like that, or if it's hard to say, it gets bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one movie that Ryan Reynolds did about 3 years ago where he was buried. And that's where I was like, nope, I can't do it.
I've never watched it. I love concept movies.
Yeah.
And the idea of like, oh, an entire movie taking place within a, you know, 6x3 box. Like, as far as I know, I don't think it goes anywhere else. It just literally stays with him the entire time. I'm like, as a concept, that's so cool. I want to see if they can pull it off. 90 minutes, you know, in one scene. It's like a Reservoir Dogs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm like, can they pull it off? But I was like, I don't know if I can handle it. I still want to see if I can watch it just to see if I could like handle it. But I think I would, I don't know. I'd have to take a break for air somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know the movie is Buried 2010. Yep.
There you go.
Thank you.
Very good.
I think that was why, like, one of like the scariest movies I've ever seen were was The Strangers, because I was scared of like, people breaking in and like doing horrible things. Because like as a child, like we had a lot of break-ins in my house, or like attempted break-ins, and we had this god awful alarm, and like it was just like, I remember like watching The Strangers was really hard for me. I don't think I could ever watch it again because it's just like it's too close to home.
Yeah.
I will share my fear, and it's totally opposite. I am not scared of demons. I am not scared of monsters, ghouls, or tax collectors. Well, I probably should be fearful of tax collectors. But what I am scared of is scared of serial killers. I am like murder mysteries. Those shows like Netflix is, they rebooted Unsolved Mysteries.
That's a good one. It creeps
me out. Like just how they presented in a documentary film of this person, and they started by hurting animals and then they moved on. Like that creeps me out. Like seeing pictures of people who got killed by some or assassinated, the killer was in the picture with them at some point. That creeps me out.
Valid.
Nothing, but real people scare the shit out of me.
Well, it's because it's awful, because it's like the victims didn't have it coming at all. And like, they were just like innocent people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Their number was up. And I think that's what makes it so scary.
Yes.
It's like you just happen to cross paths with the wrong person.
Have you seen that documentary on HBO about the EAR?
No, I haven't.
Not yet.
That's, oh my God.
You probably won't, because it's exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God.
We haven't been able
to. It's unsettling.
Really? Wow.
Watch it.
Boy, wow!
It'll
what is it called again?
It's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark about the East Area rapist and slash serial killer, like turns to a serial killer. But like, and it's all, I won't give away too much. But basically, like this guy just like blows away all you would expect from a rapist, and like it was crazy. He made it like a game. Like it was like a game,
and then just get away with it for decades sometimes. Yeah. They lose the trace of them, like they don't for years, and then boom, they hit again, like they do a string again, and you're like, it's not something that happens over a summer and it's done or whatever. Like it's sometimes over decades, and you're like, I get goosebumps right now.
Oh, man.
Well,
I've been able to work up the courage to get back into it.
And Matt, I don't know if you were born yet when Gacy was doing his shit in Chicago, John Wayne Gacy.
No, I think that was before
That was a few years before you were born. I was right at that age of the kids he was preying on. And so when you learn that shit as a little kid, it freaks you out. And then by the time I become 15... now you got Jeffrey Dahmer coming down from Wisconsin to Chicago to get, you know, young gay men, you know, and bring them up. And, oh, it's just like, man, growing up, there was a lot of, you know, serial killer stuff and that vibes coming out of Chicago area. And it was really fucking scary.
I remember my mom would always freak me out because she was like, she grew up in like the 70s, 80s. And so that was kind of like big serial killer kind of like there was just a lot of big serial killers at the time. And so when I was little, she like she gave me the whole spiel, like never, you know, like scream if somebody wants you to get in their car or whatever. But then like sometimes she would just be really random and like she would watch the news. She would just come to me randomly and just tell me like scary things, like I think to make me scared. That way I just never like wandered off or like, or I don't know, did anything stupid, because I think she was like legit freaked out about them too.
You know, I love your, I love your mom so much. That is awesome.
That's so weird. So do I. Weird. Maybe for different reasons.
Probably. I don't know if she was calling me up and saying, "Hey Matt, there's a serial killer you got to watch out for."
But she has that aura of her, like she would probably tell somebody like you should be careful out there, you know.
Type well, of she's a big, she cares a lot about like the people she loves, and she always meant well. I just remember even like till this day, like when she tells me bad news, she just drops it on me like randomly, like in a text. She'll be like, "Oh, by the way, da 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 da." I'm like, "What the?" Like I'm in the middle of something. You couldn't have like called me or
eased into
like
it.
Eased into it a little bit. Like, "Hey, I need to tell you something. Somebody's that might be dead. A little unsettling." Yeah, no, she just like drops it on me like nothing, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right, well, thanks for that." But she always has good intentions behind it.
Is that a total contrast to your family, Matt?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, when we talk,
we're very different.
Yeah, our upbringings and everything were very, very, very different. For sure. But I love her mom though. Still, she's awesome.
It's funny because I feel like the biggest difference we've discovered with our families is like my family, I think, I don't know if it's like our Mexican heritage or whatnot, we love hard and we fight hard. So we would like yell and scream when we were like, you know, in the middle of a family fight or whatnot. And then we would also like make sure we kiss each other bye every time. We like hug 10 times before we leave and whatnot. And we're just very like that. And like when the first time I witnessed him like getting off the phone with his mom, he was like, "Okay, bye. I'll talk to you later." And like click. And I was like, "What the?" I was like, "You're not going to tell your mom you love her?" And he was like, "She knows I do." I was like, "Well, what was the last time you said it?" He was like, "I don't know, like a month ago." I was like, "Oh my God." And I like freaked out. And like, even then, like when I went visit his family, I was like, "Hug your mom." Hug
and like, I always hug my mom. You're
way less touchy-feely than we are. Like we're very like different in that way.
We're like our family, we're Irish Catholic. So there's a lot of repression going on a lot of the time.
We're the sweetest, best people in the entire world.
And I'm extremely lucky, but like, we're very like here. It's like ups and downs are kind of like here. Everything's pretty usually even keel or whatever. Where I think you're getting a little bit more of this going on. Yeah. Like when it's good, oh my God, it's so beautiful and emotional and intense. But
we're an extreme family
for sure. As we kind of get towards the end here, one of the things that I think that we got going on now is, like you kind of said earlier, kind of the apocalypse feeling. So the question is, whether it be aliens or zombies. Now, obviously, you two are a couple, so we're not going to isolate you two, you know, on separate teams. You're together. Who are three people that you guys would choose to help you fight off the zombie or alien apocalypse?
Barack Obama. One.
There's your negotiator.
I miss him. Barack Obama.
Steve Irwin.
Can we bring him back?
Like zombie Steve Irwin?
Steve Irwin, it would be probably after you.
He's Crocodile Hunter, not the Zombie Hunter.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. If she brings him back, he'll be a zombie Crocodile Hunter.
Scratch okay, that. Fine. We're not doing Steve
Irwin. I'm just
Irwin.
Saying he has a lot of skills. I think that could benefit us in a
and you know and I love it, but I love it. But scratch Obama, man. Like we're talking end times. We're talking about chopping heads off of zombies. We're talking about giving State of the Union. Hell yeah. We're talking about shooting flaming arrows into the eyes.
You're right, Michelle.
I was just gonna say that. Wearing some Target pants.
Fair enough.
Okay, fine. Sorry, I kind of went crazy. That's hard.
Are we talking like any human like on the planet, or like people in our lives that we actually know?
Yeah.
Anyone that you would think of that would be perfect.
I don't know. Steve.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. We know we're some resourceful people.
Anyway. Oh my god.
I'm trying to think of people like who MacGyver? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, who's gonna be able to like get us out of any situation like with a toothpick? Like,
this is hard.
You know what I mean?
I still stand by Steve Irwin. Isn't it weird that I can't get him out of my head?
No, so like not Steve Irwin, because whatever. Like Bear Grylls, like sure. Like
there you go. Sure.
Kind of stuff like, hey, who can help? But yeah, we got to run and live in the forest for 6 weeks. We at least have someone who can help us forage and things like that.
Okay.
I think that someone like that's a good one. Like, The Rock. Screw it. I feel like he can do everything. I mean, like he's rational and like well spoken, so if we meet like a tribe of like crazy people, he could like talk them down, but he could kick their ass. I mean, the man just ripped his own gate off of his own house
that's the other true day.
All right, he's got all sides of things. It's a good balance. All
right. And he's won Jumanji twice. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and made a ton of money. Like, took the cheesiest franchise
also,
ever.
He has money. Well,
money won't mean
matter,
anything
yeah
in the apocalyptic world.
We can buy a bunch of stuff.
Nobody, no, the money means nothing.
Okay, well, he has a more secure house than our like little walk up. Like,
that's probably true.
I'm just saying. I don't know. This is really hard. I don't know like people like that.
I don't know either. I mean, who do you round it out with? You got some. We need someone.
Jesus. Apparently he's alive. We've heard it for years.
You never run out of wine.
There's a reason why they call him that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Richard Branson, because he has his own island.
Interesting.
Yeah, some billionaire who has their own private island that you set up a compound on. Something like that.
Well, what happens if you run out of food and resources? You got to get off the island.
I eat, Matt.
You know what you gotta do. Yeah, you know what I mean? Hopefully you try to plan out as much as you can. Hopefully somebody with a plane or some fuel.
Oh, and I thought we started you meant like planning out fuel. Like what part of the body I was gonna eat.
That comes later.
All right, so
answer that brilliantly.
Final question. Are you guys pumpkin spice people?
Yeah.
I could care less.
No shame. I'm that basic bitch. I'm okay with it. This is what I get. If this is what I get, like for 2020, give me the pumpkin spice. I don't care. I still
one in, it's the one indulgence you can't have during this COVID is some pumpkin spice, right?
Yes. I'm like, just give it to me. Just give it to the world. It's fine.
Matt, go ahead, Simon.
No, I was just going to say, are you that woman in Starbucks that gets very upset when it's out of season?
Oh my God, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's one thing. I will never be mean to service people. Like, because, like, the service industry, like, I'm sorry. I'm in the service industry as well. I'm also a bartender, like, a server. And, like, people that are, like, shitty to servers and people that are working for you, I'm like, no. If it's out of season, I will show my despair inwardly. I will suffer in silence and just tuck my tail and walk away. That's all.
And
but I'm not gonna wish. I could probably make my own pumpkin spice at home.
That part.
And with that, pumpkin spice being your go-to, Matt, do you have a go-to like a coffee drink or a like an adult beverage?
I mean, adult beverage. I mean, come on, just straight whiskey.
That's
the go-to beverage. I'm a tea guy in the morning. So I am just straight black tea with some little bit of sugar, and sure. I am good. If I'm going coffee, I can do it. I'm super like basic in the actual meaning of the term basic, of just like no frills, maybe a cappuccino or straight espresso, black, and black tea.
Super. I drink black coffee. That's all I drink. Every once in a while, I'll get frou-frou and have a pumpkin spice. But that's usually on a Friday.
Sure.
So basically, you guys are just drinking hot bean water.
Yes.
It does the job.
All right.
This is just distilled corn water.
True.
If you want to describe it that way. But it's delicious. It's a revelation.
What are you drinking right now?
What brand?
This is Maker's Mark. 101, not regular Maker's Mark. It just started hitting shelves nationwide. They released it wide. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's...
Jameson man, but that's
good. What, say that again?
I'm a Jameson man.
Okay.
Yeah! J-Mo.
I think J-Mo is what made me want to drink like an adult.
I love J-Mo.
No, it is. But like, I just had so many like of those early 20s, either in college or when I first started wrestling with the boys, like just going out in the town. That was my go-to because I grew up Irish and that's what I knew in the house. I was like, I'll take a shot of Jameson. So like, I just had the bad memories attached to it. It's perfectly fine, but like in my life, it's the one that was like, all right, we're going to stay away from that one for a while.
Yeah.
Nickelback. That's the best.
You know what? You just nailed it. Cause for me, it was, Jack Daniels, but what I would do was I would show up at parties with two bottles of Jack and just chug straight from the bottles.
Oh man. Hardcore.
Well, you know what, but you know what? I think you said the key word there, Matt, and that is the boys. And if you're on the road with, you know, I've done it with crews, I've done it with wrestling buddies, I've done it with acting buddies, I've done it with my regular buddies. You just feel that, like, camaraderie and then that obligation of, oh, shit, okay. And you
just rolling, yep.
Yeah, don't punk out. Don't punk out now. We just need you. Yeah,
keep
we
up,
need
keep
you.
Going.
Yep. There was one.
I hear it, yep.
There was one time in we were in Columbus, Ohio I was working on Super Nanny, and it really got, you know, kind of boring. And so you'd go down to the lounge after doing a, you know, 12-14 hour day, and one of our production guys, he insisted that we drink Patron, but top level. I think it was like Patron Silver or whatever the highest level was. And I'm not a big tequila guy, and that stuff was like going down like it was water. It was like, I've never been so, like, first of all, I can't drink any other tequila now than Top Shelf because everything's yeah. And number two, I don't think I've ever had that wake up in the morning feeling like that type of like, what the fuck just happened last night?
Tequila hangovers are bad.
Yeah, tequila will do you dirty. I had like one bad tequila night, and as a bartender, even last night I was bartending and I was pouring people like these kind of lower shelf like tequila shots, and like my mouth, you know, like right before you upchuck, like your jaw starts to water. It still waters for me. I'm like, I'm like, enjoy your shot.
Because just like, no. When it comes out of the bottle, when you're pouring like that, that smell just drifts up to you, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
It's bad, and I'm just like, nope.
Simon,
I can't even always tell.
Simon, any final questions?
You know what? I think we covered everything, but instead of a question, I do have a suggestion. I mean, since this show, you know, we kind of put Matt in a bit of a predicament a little bit, and I have to give kudos to you, man, because you were a champ through it all. You answered the questions, went with the punches. Much props.
I'm throwing him under the bus too.
It's okay.
Sure. Hey, I deal with it. I put my both shoulders on the mat and looked up those lights a lot of times. I'm used to taking the fall, baby.
But you know what? I have a proposition, and if it can happen, we're gonna set you up so that way we can turn the tables. You know, October, Halloween, Christmas, December. I don't know. Maybe, you know. We'll have my people call your people, and we'll flip the script.
I mean, I ain't mad at it.
I can take a receipt.
She already knows it's coming.
It's coming. It's okay.
Well, with that cliffhanger, we just left it on a cliffhanger. I love it. So with that cliffhanger, you're listening today. Just count down. I think what's about 6 weeks or so, or 6-7 weeks until Christmas. So get ready. Yeah. Well, yeah. What is it? If it's October 30th on December 25th. So yeah, around 7 weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
And then New Year's, and hopefully 2021 will make this all go away.
I think there's going to be a commercial. When the ball drops on 2021, what are you drinking? Because I think we're all drinking. Yep. Get this 2020 the hell out of here.
If it's
whatever cleanses the past year from our systems, that's what we'll be drinking.
I got
sage ready and everything. Sage and everything. Yes. Get it out.
Bro, if it's
all the obsidian, we're just gonna be carrying obsidian and sage and be like, just get it out, get it out.
If it's anything, if everything goes the way it's planned, maybe everything will be okay. But if things go the way I don't want it to go, I think I'm gonna have to like Jonestown Kool-Aid it and just be like,
wow,
out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
It's literally K bye.
Well, on that note, everybody, I can't thank Shaul and Matt enough for, you know, being with us today. I hope everyone enjoyed this, got into a little bit of the Halloween spirit, maybe got some spirits on. And hopefully, then we will see all you listeners and viewers back in December for a little Christmas episode. If at that time the situation allows, contracts allow, of course, and the biggest thing is if we're still all around by Christmas.
The world exists.
Because November 3rd is right around the corner, so people also remember to vote.
Vote.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and remember, subscribe, download, share, review, and just listen to all the different podcasts that the Vegas Bad Boys podcast offer. And thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.